Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was better. How many of you saw the storm this week? And what did it do during the storm? What did it do?
It rained.
It rained, and what else?
Thunder.
It thundered, and what else?
And
it hailed, and what else?
And
black clouds? And did it lightning? Yes, it rained. I'm going to tell you a story today about Sherry.
And even nighttime.
That's right. It did it at the nighttime. That's right. Okay. Now, so we all have our weather report, right? Okay. Now, Sherry was 5 years old. And you know what? She was scared when it thundered and it went lightning and the booms and everything. Oh, she was scared. And her mother said, "No, you don't need to be scared. Jesus is always with us." And she tried to remember that. And you know what? Her Sabbath school teacher told her a story about that. And they talked about it in their family worship. And she thought, "I just have to remember that Jesus is here." One night, she woke up because there was flashing lights and thunder. And she thought, "You know what? I think I can remember what I was told. I'm going to go in my closet, because that way I can't see the lightning and I can't hear the thunder so well. But Jesus can still hear me when I pray in the closet." So she opened the door and she went in the closet, and she had a little stool in there to help her reach up and get her clothes down and everything. So she sat down on the stool. She closed the door. That way she couldn't see the lightning. She couldn't hear the thunder. And she started praying, and she said, "Dear Jesus, I'm still scared, but I can't hear the thunder, and I can't see the lightning. So send your angels to be here with me." And then she thought, maybe I should sing. So she started humming a little tune and singing some songs she'd heard in Sabbath school. And she thought, "What was my memory verse?" So she said her memory verse. Then she prayed and she said, "Jesus, I really think the angels are here. I can kind of feel them. It just seems like it." And all of a sudden she heard bang. She thought, "Oh, I wonder what that was. Oh, but my angels are here. I'm not really scared." And after a while, it got really quiet and everything. And she thought, the storm must be over, right? So she opened the door. But she couldn't get the door open. But you know what? She wasn't even scared. You know what she thought? The angels were there keeping the door closed so that she would be safe. So she said, "Okay, I guess I need to pray some more." So she prayed again. And she sang, and about the time she was done singing, she heard some people. And she said, "I'm in here, I'm talking to Jesus and singing." And then the next thing she heard was, "Run, run, run," and she thought, "What is that noise? I'm going to keep on. I can't get the door open. The angels must be taking care of me." And so, finally, somebody opened the door and shined a flashlight into her and everything. "Mom, Dad!" Oh, there was also a policeman there and a fireman. And she said, "What's going on?" Mother said, "Oh, I'm so happy you're safe. Do you know what? Last night, when the storm came and everything, lightning struck the tree right outside your window. And it fell down, and she could see now the tree covered her bed, her dollhouse, her playhouse, her chest of drawers. The tree was all over everywhere." Mother said, "Do you know what? If you hadn't have gone in the closet, you probably would have been very badly hurt." Do you think Jesus was taking care of Sherry? I think so. And from then on, do you know what? Even after they got the house fixed and everything, whenever there was a bad storm, where do you think she went? In the closet. That's right, because she knew that Jesus would be right there with her and send the angels to take care of her. Isn't that a neat story?
Yeah,
it was. That's right. Okay, let's have a prayer, because we know Jesus will take care of us too. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do send your angels to take care of us and help us to know that you are always there with us. Keep us safe and help us to have a good Sabbath day, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Now time for our morning prayer. If you have a card you want, bring it up at this time. Our Father, we thank you so much that we can come before you. We come before you now in a corporate way to ask our blessings upon us, to ask our blessings upon this service. And I'm sure many have private requests that they have in their hearts that they're sending up and that you will answer them as well. We thank you for your wisdom, that you will answer them in the wisest way. And we thank you for your mercy and love toward us, that we can trust you, that you will answer them. We pray, Lord, for those that are ill. We think of Jim and that you would be with him and others. We thank you that you are always watching over each of us, to keep us safe, to keep us well. And we just pray that your Spirit would guide us and that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we might do your work and finish the work and go home. For we know that this world is not our home, and we are just pilgrims here, and we ask you to help us to look forward to heaven and to work now so that we may get to heaven as soon as possible. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've given each of us, for you have promised that you have a work for each one of us, and that you will lead us and guide us into that work and through that work. We thank you for the love that you have for us, and we come now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. Today, the offering is designated for the local conference advance. The conference advance offering gives our conference the opportunity to support a variety of projects for all churches under their care, and ours is Kansas, Nebraska. The conference is a fellowship of local congregations, and by working together, we can accomplish so much more. Evangelism is one of the ministries that the local conference supports with the offering that we give. Evangelism is central to the mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And by joining with other churches in this offering, we can provide the funds needed to strengthen existing churches and also plant new congregations. Today, you and I are invited to return the tithe and offering to the Lord. God asks us to return a faithful tithe, and we receive something wonderful from Him. Ellen White writes that tithing will be a blessing to those who carry it out to the end of time. And that's from Councils on Stewardship. Members who have been faithful tithers can testify the blessings given to them. You and I can experience that blessing. Thank you for returning God's tithe and giving an offering for the conference advance. Would the ushers now please collect the offering? Your heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to give of our silver and gold today, and also of our time and talents. Lord, we just ask that you would bless our gifts and multiply them as only you can do. Please fill our hands that we may give again and usher in your kingdom. And we thank you, and we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today we will be taking communion. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, communion is not only for those that have achieved perfection. It's not for those who have not sinned at all this last week. But it is for those of us that know that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. And it's for those that want to pray the prayer, God, be merciful to me.
The scripture reading today is Luke 23:46. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost.
I've entitled my message this morning, The Last Words of Jesus. They were not really the last words of Jesus, but they were the last words on the cross. Jesus had a lot to say after the cross, and that's the good news. Amen? And so we're going to just have a short look at his last words and their significance for you and for me. Let me pray. Our loving Father, I ask that the words that we share this morning will be words from you, that your Spirit will speak through me. I pray that your word will come alive in our hearts. And we ask that each one of us will be able to take something with us home from here that we can apply in our lives, that can bring about spiritual growth, that will draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last words of Jesus. You know, we do a lot of talking in our lives. Sometimes we talk just to hear ourselves. But when we do that, people usually stop listening to us. I remember living in Galesburg, Illinois, and we moved into a home that we had purchased. And then I realized a little too late there was a train going by. Every night, several times, trains, and I don't know about the train conductors, they must really love those horns, because they were blowing those horns all night. But you know what, after a while, I stopped listening. I tuned out, and I was able to sleep. It became background noise. And that's sometimes how we, when we talk a lot, it becomes background noise to the rest of us. I had a friend who spoke very few words. And I noticed that whenever he spoke, people typically stopped whatever they were doing. And they, first of all, they were shocked because he didn't usually speak. And they were expecting something profound to come because he opened his mouth and spoke only when he had something significant to say. He was married to someone who spoke all the time. That's a different story. Have you noticed that the final words of a person's life seem to command a little extra respect, no matter how much they talked in life? When they have their last words, well, they tend to be significant. Some of the most famous last words are credited to Napoleon's sister, Alicia. She said on her deathbed, "Nothing is as certain as death." And then people around her thought that she had died until she added, "Except taxes." Lord Palmerston, the famous English Victorian statesman, said on his deathbed, "Die, my dear Lord, that's the last thing I'll do." And he was right. Those were his last words. Christians also have made some profound statements near death. William Carey, that great missionary to India, he said on his deathbed, "When I'm gone, please speak less about Dr. Carey and speak more about Dr. Carey's Savior." And Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, she said, "Children, when I'm gone, sing a song of praise to God." And you can go on and on about all these great sayings that people have uttered upon their deathbed. Some of the great Bible patriarchs took special notice when they saw that their time was coming. Israel, when Joshua gathered all of them together and gave them his final admonition. In Joshua 24:15, he said, Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, you know those words. You've heard them over and over again. Very powerful words. And Paul wrote something encouraging when he was facing execution. He said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now again, this morning I would like to take you to the final words of Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. Now there are seven phrases attributed to Jesus on the cross. And because I have a short time today, because we have a communion service right afterwards, I would like to focus on the last ones. Look at the very last ones this morning. The Bible tells us that we are crucified with Christ. And so in a sense, the last words that Jesus said on the cross should be our words today. So think of how you can take the words of Jesus and apply them in your own life. John 19, verse 28. It says, "There, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.'" This was the third from the last saying of Jesus. "I thirst." Now, obviously, Jesus is dehydrated from his long trials and the loss of blood. And, he had been whipped on the back. He had been pounded on in the face by the soldiers. They also shoved thorns on his head. His tongue was swollen with thirst. You know, Christ said that in the great judgment, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And what will he say to the saved? He will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink." And he went on and mentioned a few others there. And so, as Christ here describes the condition of the suffering world in Matthew 25, he was also describing his condition on the cross. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was sick. He was alone. He was a stranger and a prisoner. He experienced all of these deprivations right there on the cross. And he said, "I thirst. I thirst." Yet instead of giving him water, they offered him bitter wine. He came to humanity and gave us everything that God had to offer, including offering his own life. His own life, pure and sinless. However, the last humanity offered him was what? Sour wine. Jesus is a symbol of us, for us, on the cross. And as he forgave those who crucified him, as he forgave those who wronged him, so should we. And as he thirsts, so should we. Blessed, it says in the Bible, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the next statement of Jesus, found in John 19:30, it says there, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" It is finished. Clearly, Jesus accomplished what he set out to do. He was not a quitter. He completed what he had come to do. Christ's mission was a total success, and that's wonderful news. He accomplished everything that he came to do. And why did he come? Well, we know this so very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can we have everlasting life? Absolutely. Christ made it possible. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 proclaims that we are looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the Greek word for finish here is the word teleo, which can also mean paid in full. Paid in full. It means the debt is canceled. When a person had the debt in Bible times and paid in full, they would write teleo across the debt. It means it is canceled. And Christ did just that when he declared, "It is finished." Now, he completed his plan for saving us, and he paid the debt. Now, you remember a story that Jesus told about a man who had come before the king. He owed him a great debt. Again, the king wrote canceled over his debt. And the man went out, and he met someone who owed him a debt, and he said, "Give me that money right now." And the man didn't have the money, and he said, "I'm going to send it to debtor's jail." And he did. Now, we know what happened to the one who had his debt canceled. The debt was uncanceled. I hope you understand the significance of that. The debt of sin is canceled for you and me when we come to Jesus Christ. It is paid in full. And then he says, "Now walk with me. Learn from me. Let this mind be in you," Jesus Christ's mind, "and your debt will remain canceled." But if we have an unforgiving attitude to those around us, you and I are starting from scratch. But at the same time, let us keep in mind here, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior of our lives, he paid the debt. He didn't make a down payment, and now we have to keep the payments up. It is paid. But when you receive him as Savior, you will also receive him as Lord. And that he will then be your guide, and he will empower you to live for Jesus. And if you do not receive him as Lord, you have never received him as Savior. But he said, if you receive him as Savior, and you trust him with your life, and you say, "I want you to be my advocate. I want you to be the one that takes my sin. I welcome that, and I confess my sin. And I'm thankful for the sacrifice you made for me on Calvary, and I want to live for you," then it is canceled. It is paid in full. And that's good news. Now, Christ also was settling the controversy between God and the being once known as Lucifer when he was there on the cross by saying, "It is finished." He vindicated God's name against the backdrop of Satan's accusations. The last statement of Jesus on the cross is recorded in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, which was read earlier. Luke 23 verse 46, and it says, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." You know, no one could take Jesus' life. He gave his life. He laid down his own life. Humanity shares the responsibility for his death because we took part, but we could not have done it without his willingness. The Romans were actually surprised that Jesus died as soon as he did, because criminals often languished for days on the cross. Jesus expired, died after only about 6 hours. He let out that last breath. His skin tone faded to gray, and he died. And he did it all willingly. Now, do you remember the first recorded words of Jesus? They are in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. And it says there, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Christ's business had been to fulfill the will of the Father as the Lamb of God. That had been his business. And he closes his ministry by acknowledging that his business had come to a conclusion. That his life had been about doing his Father's will. Now, this is a characteristic for you and I that you and I should be striving for as well, to do our Father's will. Sometimes we let ourselves think that going to church once a week is God's will. But that's not the extent of God's plan, my friends. All through the week, we should be praying to the Father, "Your will be done. Your will be done." Let that be your prayer every single day this coming week. His last words are also words of complete faith, straining under the crushing weight of sin, of the world's guilt, and staring into the tomb, knowing that that's his next stop. It must have seemed hopeless to Jesus. Yet by faith, Jesus laid hold on the Father. We learn from his last words that our faith needs to go beyond feeling. Jesus knew his mission. He knew the prophecies that said he would rise again. And even though he felt that eternal separation, that he was facing eternal separation, he said, "Father, I trust you. I trust you." And that's a perfect example for you and me, isn't it? Can you trust your life into the Father's hand? If you're not doing it now, you can start. We can go through life knowing that even through the dangerous storms of life, we have a God who will hold us steady in his hands. And all we need to do is trust him. As I mentioned in my pastor's class this morning, the word trust or believe, in a Hebrew mindset, they could not distinguish that word from action. It involved action. If you trust, you will take the steps that are involved with trust. And he will come through for us. He will enable us. And I believe that each morning, it would be a sensible thing for us to pray, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The seven statements of Jesus on the cross were not just the words of any dying man. They're words of encouragement, words of revelation. They're promises from God himself. Of course, Jesus' dying words aren't his last words. He has been resurrected. And so you and I can know that we can have faith and hope and joy because of what Jesus did on our behalf. He's not in the tomb. It's empty. Best of all, he has written Telio. It is finished, paid in full over our debt of sin. As long as we accept that provision and choose to live for him. The wonderful news is that he is today our advocate in the heavenly sanctuary. The book of Hebrews tells us about that. How he's advocating, he is blessing us with heaven's blessings. The Spirit is touching our lives as a result of Christ's active ministry today in the heavenly sanctuary. And he will be our advocate until he comes back. And may you be able to look forward to that day with joy, May you be able to lift your head high when you know that day is near, because you trust your life to Jesus, the one who made it all possible, the one who paid it in full. Amen. At this time, each one of us that would like to participate are invited to go into the locations that we have for our ordinance of humility. It's what we call a foot washing, where we make our hearts right with one another before we come together around the table, before we come together for the communion meal. If you would like to witness, if you have never participated in a foot washing service, you're welcome to come and watch it. You're welcome to participate as well. And you may be, you remain seated here, and we'll come back here after this ordinance of humility. So at this time, let us each go. Just follow the crowd of women and men. And we also have a couple service, which is in what room again? The library? The library. And so at this time, let us go to the ordinance of humility.
Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Sometimes it causes me to
please be seated. At this time, Elder Dan Tierney will lead us in prayer over the bread.
Scripture reading will be 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for this emblem of your broken body that you gave to save us from our sins. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember this at all times, that you loved us so much that you came and you lived that perfect life, and then you gave your life as a sacrifice, that we might be with you. We thank you, Lord, for this emblem, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
At this time, if anyone has a testimony that you would like to share about what God has done for you, or a praise, thanksgiving, please stand and share that with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Shannon, for your testimony. Amen. Yes, Ernesto. Amen. We look forward to hear Ernesto's full and whole testimony at some point in the future. He has a great testimony to share. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." At this time, our elder Dan Tierney will lead us in the scripture reading and prayer again over the juice.
After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you again for this emblem that reminds us of the blood that was shed. You said the life is in the blood, and you gave your blood for us that we might receive the forgiveness, that we might come to you in our need, in all our needs, and that we might ask your blessing upon us. All this comes from the blood that you shed for our sins. We thank you again, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Again, I want to invite you to share a testimony. Yes, please. Amen. Whether people hear us sing or hear us talk, and may they hear angels. May they hear angels speak and sing. In fact, I'm thankful that you shared that new beginning. You have a job, and you know, life is full of new beginnings. And may each one of us experience a new beginning also here today. One more. Amen. Thank you. Then it says in the same chapter, Matthew 26, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. I want to invite you all to stand with me as we sing a song together here at the end. Jesus paid it all. Remember, Teleo. He paid it all. Number 184. This is going to be our closing song. Number 184. Jesus paid it all. Loving Father, thank you for that fact that you paid it all, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, has made it possible for us to have hope, to have eternal life in Him. Thank you for the reminder we had this morning that your blood and that your body is what has brought us to this point. Father, thank you that you were broken for us with your Son, and that we have the promise of eternal life when we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.